like to call us back to order. So we moved on to general order day three, but without objection, I would like to return to general order day two so that Congresswoman Edwards can withdraw her previous motion to amend and restate because the amendments that she had proposed did not match up to the lines on the bill. So we are now on general order day two. Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes, so I withdraw my other amendment and I move insert page, this is all one amendment. Insert. Sorry. Strike the word insert. Okay, so the amendment is not an amendment to the amendment. It's a general order amendment. Are you guys looking at your paperwork? Page 2, strike $5,781,239 and insert $5,761,489. Line 64, strike $1,598,864 and insert $1,591,364. Page 66, strike $1,833,731 and insert $1,813,731. Line 73, strike $1,105,590. And insert $1,092,840. Line 78, insert other treatment alternative to street crime program, $60,000.
Congressman Supernaw?
That's ONCR 1707. ONCA 1707.
Yes.
Second.
Congressman Edwards?
We suspend the rules and modify the agenda and place 1707 on general order day three and today's agenda.
Second. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. Okay. We're now on general order day three, where amendments are voted on in the order they are received. ONCA 1707.
Just waive the reading of the amendment.
Second.
All those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed, say no. Everyone has a copy. Roll call, please. Discussion.
Well, this is my amendment, and based on what I've heard during a recess when I asked about the impact of the amendment or the committee amendments, I was told that the intent of that is to ensure that the treatment alternative to street crime program receive funding to continue operations. Now, there's no guarantee when you put your funding into various line items in a division that funding will go towards that purpose. And we've seen it with for example, the Gaming Commission has shown us where they had a budget that their funding didn't get used for the purpose they intended, where the cultural center had funding that didn't get used for a purpose that was appropriated. It was what we heard in committee was going to be the use of money. So there is a way to at least, and it's worked for us with respect to the education division, to line item funds within a budget bill in order to have them supposedly utilized for what they're line itemed about. And so this amendment moves that money into other, which is defined in Osage law as an expense not identified in a named expense category, delineated, described in a budget bill and support documentation. And I ask the sponsor this morning if there had been that support documentation signed up the way for this appropriation, and he indicated no. So can I guarantee you that if this is put in other expense, that it will be spent for that? No. But I can tell you that when we delineated in the education division specific assistance to the college entrance testing assistance program and Sylvan Learning Center and different programs within the direct assistance line, we now get a budget, or we now get accounting information that shows us how much money is in those lines and they're being accounted for separately. So it's my hope, and I understand that this is an unusual move, but I'd like to see what happens when we line item funding to a specific program. Not that I encourage it, but this is pretty unusual, and we've got a situation where apparently a program has ground to a screeching halt through no act of Congress. So it seems to me that Congress wants the counseling program to continue to work, and this might be a way to continue that from happening, Sorry.
Congressman Mason.
Thank you. The member of that committee sitting in the meeting today, and amendments taken care of, and comments shared at our committee table this morning. My thought at the time, expression was that if we were able to, as Congress, appropriate some money to this particular program, to TASC, that we're thinking in terms of, this was my thought, that we're thinking in terms of 4 months or 120 days until March, when they could come back, along with others that come back and approach us for additional monies. You know, as I said in these committees, you know, no one has their hand on a Bible, and no one is sworn that the things that they say are absolutely correct in the absolute. Things change many times. And I think that all of us here are indeed supportive of the TASC program, the health and the wellness that goes that is presented for our Osage people. And with this particular program, whatever, if there was a mistake, if there was an oversight that this particular component is not able to function, I would, for one, would like to see it function. I'm not really, I was comfortable at the end of the meeting that we made a vote to present this particular bill out with amendments from this table, and now we have some additional amendments, and I'm still one that needs to be, I think, convinced. I came here this morning driving in a fog, and it feels like I'm still in a fog, and I need to hear a little more debate on which way I need to cast my vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I'm glad that you made it to the meeting. I was not able to make it there. So what I've heard has been just since this has been brought before us on general order day two, and amendments can be proposed to it. And I've learned a lot about it, and I realized that they came to us asking for $120,000 for the TASC program. I think that's a worthy program. I know that it helps our Osage people with assessments that they need. And I support that. I believe that what I heard you say is at the table there were agreements made that you guys were going to appropriate $60,000 to help that TASC program move forward and help our people, I'm going to support the amendment because we're able to put in our legislation that that's what we intend that $60,000 to be used for, and it actually says it in the legislative bill by this amendment. So I support the amendment that's on the table in front of us for that reason, because I believe it was the committee's intent to appropriate the $60,000 for the TASC program. Thank you.
Thank you, Congresswoman Buffalohead.
I'm going to support it because we basically did the same thing with 1704. Very, very similar language. And while I agree, there are opinions that, well, we've never done this before, this sets a precedent. We've got some issues. I don't necessarily know that now is the time to address them towards the end of a special session, but because we did put them in similar language in ONCA 1704, where we actually put in the title that $40,000 is for the special election, I'm going to support this amendment.
Thank you. Congressman Tillman?
Yes, I just have a question. Earlier this morning, and I was in on the tail end of the meeting and listened to Congressman Shaw go line by line, putting in amounts, $7,500 here, $20,000 here, $12,750 here, and all the different lines. And the director and her staff was here, and they all agreed to those where you were specifically putting them. And so what I understand is if we leave them in those lines, then somebody can pull them out and do something else with them. And if we put them in this other, then they can't do that. Is that what you're telling? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, I'm going to never say never, because I wouldn't have thought that $250,000 worth of salaries would end up buying a building. But at least in this instance, that certainly indicates where the money is to be appropriated, or what the money is to be appropriated to, and that's to a program. I looked at the committee report, and there's no committee intent on this report. So there's nothing in writing that would indicate to anybody other than the people that sat in this meeting today what the intent of those funds were, because when you look at them, you can't tell. You can't look at it from the bill. And so I think this is the best way. I believe we're going to have to go back to this kind of budgeting in order to make the intent of Congress stick. So this is good. It'll be a good learning tool to see if it works, because we know it doesn't work the other way.
So, by putting it in this other category, this other pot line, they're still able to go back. What Congressman Shaw went over with them line by line, if that was their future purpose intention to do, they could still just pull that out of other and put it back into those, spend it that way. Is that correct?
As far as I'm concerned, they can.
Okay.
I guess the treasurer will tell them.
Is there anything keeping somebody from pulling it out of other and going buying a building?
I would say the law, but it's not working either.
So I guess what's the difference of just leaving it in where it was in the lines or putting it in the other?
If you have the word task, if it says that the appropriation is for task.
Salaries and wages, task.
Well, you're going to be a little bit, in my opinion, you're going to be a little bit harder put to say the money was put into task and you moved it and put it somewhere else. If it says salaries and wages, you can make the argument that salaries and wages for the whole division, which it is, that's the way we're budgeting by division, and we decided that we needed that money, and that's happened too. We decided we needed that money for something else.
Okay.
Congressman Walker.
I see where the $60,000 is identified in the expenses portion of the bill. Where is it identified in the revenue portion, Congresswoman Edwards?
That would be wherever the committee put it. was, I can look on the report, looks like it was.
I'm just saying.
Page two, line 54, had 60,000 added into it.
And it still exists.
Continue, Congressman Walker.
Well, my point is, you gotta have the revenue and the expenses jive with one another. So if we added $60,000 to other, but we also included $60,000 in 1, 2, 3, 4 line items, isn't that $120,000?
Now, the other is down at line 70.
But there's only been $60,000 added to the revenue. I'm being serious. I'm not trying to railroad this deal. I just think this, I know this is one way that we do make lots of mistakes.
There's reduction in line items now. See, we're striking 781,
2.9. Okay, I got you. So
we've reduced it all the way down.
Okay. That's also, I was a bit afraid of that. May I continue?
Continue.
Okay, so the $60,000 has been added to the other portion of the bill. It's also $60,000 is in line 54 or 52. I think I'm looking at an old version, $60,000. So there is a $60,000 revenue and a $60,000 expense associated. One of the things that bothers me about that scenario is taking $60,000 out of other and moving it into salaries, wages, that's the so-called above the line, which is okay, but still, I thought, according to budget parameters, you can't take money from in those non-administrative services and put them particularly into salaries and wages, which is what you're proposing be done. It's my understanding that the budget parameters is now being followed. So if we pass this, that they wouldn't actually have the ability to move that $60,000 and put it into the lines in administrative expenses.
Well,
Congresswoman Evers.
Actually, the rest of the money is by division, so they can utilize that money and offset it other places.
I don't know which.
Well,
she recognized, Madam Speaker.
Yes, she was. Day it is for whether budget parameters is being followed or not followed.
Congressman Walker.
We could sit here and debate this all day long. I feel comfortable with what we accomplished in committee earlier. Nobody had their hand on the Bible. But $60,000 is distributed through the bill for task. It wasn't identified in the other line. And to my knowledge, you can't take money out of non-administrative expenses and put it into administrative expenses, which if they're going to use it for the way that the committee intended earlier, then by passing this amendment, we wouldn't be able to do that, or the executive branch wouldn't be able to do that.
Congressman Shaw.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Well, this has really been a roller coaster to try to decide which side to support. You know, we all have those where you feel like you finally made your mind up and then someone speaks, and I respect my colleagues greatly for that, for their positions and what they teach me when they present their positions, even on an amendment, let alone the bill itself. And I've heard a lot of good arguments. Both sides have tremendous merit. I am concerned about the Budget Parameters Act. We put a lot of stock in that. We quoted it repeatedly. Why we don't have a legal opinion about whether that comes into play here. I'm going to support the committee work that was done this morning. And I'm feel like I need to leave the bill as was reported out of committee, and I will be voting no for the amendment.
Is there any more discussion? Congresswoman Buffalo, then?
Well, I considered voting no for it because I just didn't really feel like now was the time to argue back and forth the pros and the cons. I think there are pros and cons to both sides, but you know, my reason for voting yes is no one seemed to have a problem with the language of the bill of ONCA 1704, and to me it's the exact it's really, it's, the language is so similar. We just didn't hear any debate on where that money was going. So that's why I'm going to support it, this amendment.
Congresswoman Edwards, you had your hand up at the same time as Congresswoman Buckleven.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that 1A, Section 109 in law says that a line item that's not defined in ONCA 1350 shall describe the line item in the support documentation. I think you were indicating that we don't have any support documentation signed off on that supports this. My main reason for this, and I'm not saying that this is the end all, because we learned through division budgeting that a lot of times the intent of Congress is not carried out in the budget. But this year, remember when I was making the motions, because this is when I usually always do it, at the end of the budgetary session, I say that we have the intent of Congress as expressed in the committee report. And this committee report doesn't say anything about how those funds are intended, how that committee or Congress intended. So if the amendment fails, then I would urge you to put something of record that indicates this, because the chief wasn't in that meeting this morning, and the treasurer wasn't in that meeting this morning. So, I mean, they don't know what deal was made, and even when deals are made, when they're not in writing, they mean nothing.
Congresswoman Whitehorn, you're next.
Well, I just went on record saying that I support the amendment, and I support the concept and the idea of the amendment. But I think Congressman Walker made a very good point about the Budget Parameters and Limitation Act. And I don't know whether the executive branch is or is not following the Budget Parameter and Limitation Act. I think that in this instance, as we see, it might be a time that they choose to do so and then say that $60,000 can't be spent on the salary for somebody that's going to offer support services to implement the task program. I think our objective is to get the task program functional to serve our people. I am going to have to go back on what I said for the simple fact that I want this money to be able to be utilized for that. I like that it's lined out in the other line, but I think that we have really taken a stance on that we believe that the Budget Parameter Limitation Act should be followed.
Okay, briefly, I want to say that I'm just going to comment on this and say that I too was leaning towards voting for this, because in the past, I think we have done this in the past, and we did that one time in the education bill, and put a line item for tutoring, and that money was moved about 2 weeks later. But we have talked in this body about putting congressional intent, and I do support that, because that's how we are to communicate, and because the way the budgeting session has gone this past time, I do support letting it out there, because we often hear from employees that this or that is cut and they can't have this or that because Congress cut it. But if they could, you know, if we would communicate, we could tell them that that's much of that is not true. Often it is not true, and we have to clarify that for them. So they do have division budgeting and the ability to move that around. So that's up to the executive branch to prioritize those things. So my concern is, I'm with Congresswoman Whitehorn. I believe I support the language, but I too am concerned with these numbers. And so I have asked legislative council to come, and if I can turn to you just to make myself feel better, and maybe anyone else, have you reviewed the amendment? And could you speak to whether it falls in line with the Budget Parameters Act? Mr. Gill.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Congress Assistant Chief. Bear with me just a second. I believe I understand what's going on here.
Can I get a clarification?
Hold on, Congressman, please.
So the amendments that were made this morning in committee, the total $60,000, the amendment goes to the other line item, right? So, and then the issue is, those monies are intended to be used for the TAS program for salaries and wages, is that correct?
No, not all, potentially.
Potentially, part of the line.
And that's my question.
So the amendment itself does not, the amendment itself doesn't look like it would violate anything, but if we're asking or having the intent that the money be eventually moved into other line items, especially salaries and wages, that would be the issue with Budget Parameter Limitation Act.
Okay, Congresswoman Edwards.
I understood, the chair to say this morning that that was for a supplemental, not for a specific job, because there's not enough money in there, it's at $19,700 for a new position, so that it was to supplement, perhaps supplement based on what the HR department finds, a job, and we've appropriated money through another bill for base pay adjustments. Now that lump sum of money for base pay adjustments, that's what that's for. So, there's another place to find that money, and that's why I say it can be offset somewhere else. That was the only thing that I noticed that might be an issue. So I thought that you wouldn't worry, you wouldn't bump into Budget Parameters for that reason.
Right, thank you.
And can I ask, maybe you can give that to legal counsel so that you guys can feel confident about that?
Mr. Gill, do you have anything to add?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, if the money is not moved out of the other line item, then you don't run afoul of any issues with the Budget Parameter Limitation Act. You would also have the above the line and below the line issues with the Budget Parameter Limitation Act if the money were to be moved into another line item besides salaries and wages or direct assistance. So if this money, this $60,000, stays in other, obviously no issue. If you're going to grab $19,000 in salaries from the former appropriation that went to the executive branch for salary adjustments, then there's no issue with the Parameter Limitation Act at that point.
Thank you, Congresswoman Buffalohead.
Okay, so pretending, hypothetically, that executive is following budget parameters, this is going to be a problem.
No.
Yes.
Well, let me explain.
That is what I've been saying, hypothetically speaking, if they are following budget parameters, and we don't know if they are or they aren't, but if they are, this will be a potential problem. So,
okay, let me
hold on. Congresswoman, I believe I had Congresswoman Whitehorn. Did you have your hand up again?
No, I was probably just.
You did not.
Yeah.
Okay. Had your
hand. Something crazy.
All right, Congresswoman Buffalo, or excuse me, Edwards.
If you recall, we appropriated to each branch to be administered through the Human Resources Department a lump sum of money. And what I'm hearing you guys say, what happened in the meeting today, somebody was complaining about what the salary range was for a job. Is that correct? They said, we don't like what the salary range was for the job.
It's not germane to the discussion.
Set by HR. And the point is, the adjustment for a salary comes from that base pay salary adjustment line that we made in September. That's where everybody's base pay adjustments come. If you made a special base pay adjustment, it comes from there. If you made a one-time adjustment, it comes from there. That's why we did that way.
Congresswoman Edwards, wrap.
So there is
wrap
money
up, please, and
available
vote
for that, and this won't run into that.
All right, thank you. Roll call, please. Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton.
No.
Congressman Maker.
No.
Congressman Mason.
No.
Congressman Norris.
No.
Congressman Shaw.
No.
Congressman Supernall.
No.
Congressman Tillman.
No.
Congressman Walker?
No.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
No.
Congresswoman Bethelhead?
No.
Speaker Pratt?
No.
The amendment fails, and ONCA 1707 is advanced to third reading after engrossment on today's agenda. We're now at a point. Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Move to recess the call of chair.
Second.
All those in favor say yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. We're in recess to the call of the chair.